Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Denise Bryson, and I thank God for each one of you, those that will be logging in, those that will be calling in, and those that will even listen to the broadcast later. Thank you so much. Thank you for all those that will be joining us today on Facebook Live. We praise God for each and every one of you, and we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone's life that will be under, that can hear under the sound of my voice. So we're going to open up with prayer. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for the word of God. Hallelujah, Lord. You planting the word of God in us, oh God, and allowing it to grow. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless, Lord Jesus, that the word today will fall on good ground, and it will bless each and every one of those that will hear it, those that will be able to understand it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to strengthen your people, Father, in Jesus' name. We glorify you and we magnify your name, for you are worthy. God, we ask you, Lord, if there's any sick among us, let them, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless them to be healed. Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless those, Lord Jesus, Lord, that need financial blessings, oh God. Lord, let money come into them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless us to be good stewards, faithful tithers, and cheerful givers, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless us going out and our coming in, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless our leaders, oh God, those that poured out to us this morning the word of God all over this land and this country and all over this world. Lord, we're holding them up, Lord, in your name, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We magnify you and we glorify you, for thou art worthy to be praised. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch each and every one of them. Oh, God, we thank you for our leadership, oh, God, because, Lord, we understand that, Lord, when they're pouring out the word, it ain't that they haven't been tested and tried by it either, oh, God. So, Lord, we ask you to strengthen them, oh, God. Let us hold their hands up, oh, God, like Aaron and Hur did with Moses, God. Oh, God, let us keep them up under the blood of Jesus, oh, God, for your protection. And, Lord, we ask you to touch their bodies and healing. Heal them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Some are getting ready to go before the people, even in this hour and in the hours to come. Touch and bless them, oh God, Lord. Lord, let your word go forth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, oh God. Strengthen us as only you can. Love us as only you can. Comfort those, Lord, that have lost loved ones, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So many had surgeries this week, oh God. And Lord, they came through the surgeries all right. Continue their healing process. Continue to deliver them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So many gave their life to thee this morning, oh God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to keep them strong, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen them with the word of God. Lord, let them keep coming, oh God, that they can be strengthened and guided by thee, Father, in your Holy Spirit. Lord, somebody needs the Holy Ghost, oh God. Lord, let them ask for the gift and fill them with your Holy Spirit today, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we understand that these battles are not ours, but they belong to thee. We thank you that you're fighting for us, heaven, oh, God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So we praise and we thank you. We glorify and we magnify your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm so thankful to be on the broadcast. This is on the broadcast today. I'm trying to do two things at one time, but that ain't going to work out, so I ain't going to fool with it. But anyway, I always got something going on. But anyway, I'm so thankful. I'm praying and asking the Lord all week. You know, I've been still talking about, we're still talking about prayer. But we done moved into another facet of it. We're talking about prayer and the weapons of our warfare, the things that we can couple with prayer to get through the things that the enemy is trying to do to us. Or, you know, it's not so much we want to magnify the enemy, but you know what? When you're on the Lord's side, it's a battle, but God is fighting for us, and that's the wonderful thing about it. We got God on our side, and if we got God on our side, we are winning every time. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the enemy tries to make it seem like, we are winning the battle, we are winning the war, and the enemy cannot cannot, he can't snatch us out of God's hands. That's the awesome thing about it. When we are his, we are his. And so we were talking about, I think we ended up last week, we were talking about our blood bought benefits through the blood of Jesus, and we talked about that, and I think we talked a little bit about the power of agreement, and, you know, that is using that as a weapon of our warfare, as a prayer of agreement. We talked about the authority we have in Jesus' name and how we can use the name of Jesus as our authority, so we thank God for that. And so today we're going to talk about, and then the Lord told me to start talking about these battles that went on in the Bible and try to relate them to our current life and how God won those particular battles for his people and how he is winning the war for us. He is winning these battles in our life because, you know, we may not be fighting a physical enemy, but the Bible tells us Second Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 4th and 5th verse. I'm like, what is going on right here? Okay, I'm sorry, y'all know I be doing too much talking. Anyway, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 4th and the 5th verse, where it tells us, it's for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we know that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting the weapons. We're fighting these principalities. And then, of course, Ephesians 6 says that the weapons that the weapons are principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. And so it begins to tell us that, and that's over in Ephesians 6, 13 through 18 talks about that. But it also talks about some of our weaponry that we can have. I told you, you know, when you've done all the stands, the Bible says to stand therefore, and sometimes just standing there and not quitting or not running is a weapon. And so we got to use the things that God has already given us and be able to use those in faith and in obedience so that we can know that we are on the winning side. And no matter what it is, whether it's illness or whatever it is, you know, sometimes you gotta have prayer partners on there. And that's why I say the power of agreement. When you agree in prayer with people that have faith and have faith to pray with you through your situation. One of our elders, even this week, and I won't call the name because I ain't asking to call the name. But anyway, they sent out a prayer request about a family member of theirs that was in surgery. And so, of course, we started texting and sending the prayer request, forwarding the prayer request on by text. Some of us did, because, you know, sometimes we don't have time to get to calling everybody. So anyway, but when we got ready to do that, and then later on that day, because people responded with prayer, they said, I'm praying. They responded with prayer. And because they responded with prayer, the Lord brought that person through. The prayers of the saints availed much, and the Lord brought that person through that surgery, and everything began to line itself up, and so the Lord is blessing them in their recovery. So we're so thankful for that. So you need the power of agreement, because, you know, James 5 and 15 tells us the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I always talk about that prayer, those people that were praying for that sick person, they had the faith to believe that. So we're going to talk about today. We've got a couple of battles we're going to talk about. And, of course, in our weapons of warfare, we're going to touch on a couple of them just through talking about these two particular battles. And I really had three, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get to that third one or not, because I want to talk about David as well. So I might really wait and talk about him next week so I can do a little more study about that, because the Lord is beginning to talk to me about that. And we're not just talking about him dealing with Goliath, but him dealing with all the battles in his life. He had so many internal, external. He had leadership. It was just one thing after another concerning him, but how God brought him out victorious, how he brought him out victorious every time. So, but this time we're going to talk about, and I'm talking about these particular battles. The Lord told me to talk about these two. It was really those three, but if I get to that third one, I don't think I will. But anyway, these two, because when I started reading, of course, you know, Jehoshaphat, that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But when I started getting through that, the Lord just really said, "He said, I need you to take your time with this and not go fast, and I might and walk through the scripture." So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin to do that. Sorry, y'all, my phone started ringing. I'm going to begin to do that and begin to walk through the scripture and really talk about that. There's so many great points about that. If we really want to win the wars and the things we're going through and some of the things we've been going through for some time, And so we're really ready for it. We want God to deliver us, and we want God to bring us out of these battles and out of these things. We're going to have to follow some blueprints. Now, I think about Joseph, he got a blueprint. He painted a good picture for us how we should approach God and how we should get to God and the outcome of that. And, of course, one of the prayer partners this week is going to be faith, and then it's going to be trust. And then I think I put down here for Jehoshaphat, it was just so many of them. When I started looking at him, he had praise. He had he sought the Lord, and, you know, he humbled himself. They humbled themselves with fasting and with prayer, and they had repentance. They began to repent. So these are some of the things that they used to pray and to cry out unto God, and God delivered them, and he blessed them, and he delivered them from the enemy was outnumbered them. And sometimes, and, you know, like I said, we're not really fighting physical enemies, but, you know, sometimes, like, you know, somebody's going through a thing with their home, and you know, they may be in the midst of a foreclosure, and they're sending them notices that, you know, it's going into foreclosure and all that, and so they begin to do the paperwork to try to get modifications and things like that, and they feel like they've done this paperwork 3 or 4 or 5 times. Well, the awesome thing about them, I'm going to turn this light up. The awesome thing, shining bright. The awesome thing about that is that you know what? Maybe our battle is the paperwork. So just keep doing the paperwork. And then allow God to bless you. Sometimes, you know, our battle is us just continuing on, continuing in prayer, like the woman with the unjust judge. She just kept going to him, talking about avenge me and my adversary. So we keep going. And so, and then that's how the Lord begins to deliver us, because we don't give up. We can't give up. You've come too far to give up. You've come too far. God has blessed you. He's brought you too far. Your faith should be stronger. And so you just got to continue in faith no matter what it looks like. You got to continue in faith. And so I want to talk about, this is two passages of scripture the Lord gave me. One is in Numbers 21 through 25. Let me pull it up this way, because I want to be over there reading it on the thing. So I had to host that up. Let's see. Well, here I'll read it, because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to keep with it. Anyway, in Numbers, it talks about in Numbers 20 and 25, 21 rather, not 20:25, but 21. And it talks about, ooh, just a little bit. Anyway, it talks about, I'm going to read the scripture, because this was the battle, one of this battle right here was between Shion and Og, the king of Shion, the king of Og. And they were the ones that the Lord, yes, ma'am, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, Elder Pierce, for typing that in for me. Thank you, Lord. They were fighting against him. So the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness at the time. And so they were going through, they were getting ready to pass through. And they were going through where Ammon, Moab, and even the Edomites were. These are, of course, you know, Moab and Edom and all of them, those are their brothers. And so because Edom, of course, is Esau, that's Jacob's brother. And then you got Amnon and Moab, which are descendants of Lot. And so those were, Lot was Abraham's nephew. And so those are their descendants. But when the Lord told them to go through past them, he said, don't turn one way or the other to them. Just go on through. He didn't want them to bother them at all. But then you had the king of Shion, which he is in Heshbon. And then you have the king of Og and Bashan. And so, but they Israel sent them a note, sent them something and said, you know, can we pass through? We just want to come through. And we're not going to bother anybody. We're not going to drink your water. We're not going to drink the wine. We're not going to do nothing. We just want to pass through. And if we have to, we'll buy meat and we'll buy water. But we just want to pass through. And they told them, no, you can't come through here. You can't come this way. And so that's what, in essence, what was happening. And so I'll read the scripture. Let me read the scripture. It's Numbers 21, and then it starts down here at the Then Israel, is that it? Yeah, is it? Number, yeah. I'm sorry. I was looking at this Bible thinking, oh my God, what is that? Anyway, let me pull it up because I can't hardly see them little Bibles. You know, I need to give me some of them large print Bibles. I said I done had them little print Bibles forever, but honey, they not doing me no justice now. You help me. I got to squint and all that to look at them. But anyway, so here we are. Anyway, so it said that this was right after the children of Israel had had been bitten by the serpents and all of those things, and they had the bronze serpent put up there, and when they went past and looked at it, the Lord blessed and healed them from those snake bites. But anyway, it says it's 21 and 21. It says, Israel sent messengers unto Shion, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we pass the borders. As Shion said, would not suffer Israel to pass through his borders. But Shion gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness, and he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Amnon, for the border of the children of Amnon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Ammonites and Heshbon and all the villages thereof. Now, if you read this if you read this particular scripture over in Deuteronomy, it talks about how God told Moses, he said, I'm going to give them into your hand. I'm going to give you the battle. And so this is the thing I learned about that. What I learned about that is that when God is fighting for us, you know, no matter how big the situation is, how brutal the storm is, God is fighting for us, and so we're going to be on the winning side. One of the things he said to me, and I was writing my notes down right before, he said, God had already told Moses. I got the battle is yours. You've already won the battle. So he went into the battle knowing he was a winner. We have got to get that mindset that when we're dealing with God and when God is fighting for us, that we are already winners going into the situation. That we don't have to fear, we don't have to be discouraged. We are already winners in the situation. We got to, because the enemy, what the enemy is trying to do, he's trying to attack your mind. He's trying to cause you to rebel against God. He's trying to cause you to doubt God. He's trying to make you feel like, well, God ain't gonna do it for me. He's done it for others, but he's not doing it for me. And when you're going through certain situations, it looks like the enemy will put people in your place, in your path, to make you feel like that you can't win, but they win it. And so but what we have to be careful about when those kind of things is happening is not to be judgmental, and first of all, not to compare ourselves with anybody, because when it comes to you and God, it is you and God. It is you and God. Yeah, thank you, Ms. April. The battle is not all. It's not yours. It is God. And so you don't have to worry about it. And when you release that to God, he said, what did he say? James 5, when he said, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's James 5 and 7, I believe it is. Yeah, I think it's James. James 5 and 7, where he said, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. And so we got to understand God cares for us. God wants us to win. He ain't sitting around here talking, well, I'm going to let them lose. No, I don't like them. That is not what God is doing, but that's what the enemy would want you to think. That's what he would want you to put in your mind. That's why he's attacking your mind. The battle is in our mind sometimes. That is where he is fighting us the most, in our mind, because we see things happening and things not happening, and we praying and stuff ain't happening. Now, that went up with that unjust judge. She kept going to it. She kept right on marching in there, going to him and telling him to avenge her adversary. She just kept right on going. We got to keep right on going. We got to keep right on going, because God has got a win for us. We are on the winning side. And so we got to use our weapons that God has already equipped us with. He's already given us hope. He's already, because I told you the other day, now the devil's hopeless. We got to understand that he is hopeless. He's going to hell. He is going to hell. That's where he's going to be. That's where he's going to be locked up. And so all of those things are happening to him, but they don't have to happen to you. And so why should we allow a hopeless devil, a lying devil, first of all, a lying devil, a hopeless devil, to try to bring us and doubt God when we got hope? As long as you get up every morning and you breathing in, taking in a breath and breathing out, you got hope. So don't go along with what he says. He ain't saying nothing. All he's doing is trying to do is gather up some people to go with him. So we don't want to go with him. We're going with Jesus, because Jesus is the one that died for our died on our behalf. He died for all the sins that we've ever committed. He's died for all of that. He's already took the heat of it. He took it. And so he gave us an opportunity for us to live. He said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. He said, but the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If it's killing, stealing, and destroying, that is not God. That is not God. We got to make sure we get that and keep that on the forefront of our heart, that we will not allow the enemy to change our heart toward God. We can't do it. I don't care how it gets. We can't do it. And so there we got there. So let me go on and read my notes, because, you know, I can get excited and get to going. But it says Israel wanted to pass by them, and I told you that. And then it said God told them not to bother their brothers, the Edomites, the Moabs, and the Ammonites. I told you that. And so then he said, but the king of Shinar went on to war, and God defeated them and gave them the possession of their land. Because when they defeated them, God told them to destroy all of them, the little ones, their wives, everybody went. And so because of that, why is that like it on my neck? So it's so bright, it keeps shining. All I keep seeing is the light. So anyway, it still went on, but anyway, we're going to go on. And so anyway, he told him, he said, no, he said, don't worry about them, but you're going to get them. So anyway, what they used in this particular thing, they trusted in God. They trusted in God. They went on what they already knew. Remember, sometimes I told you, we got to remember what God has already done in the past. That they had just won three other battles prior to that. They was at Rephidim, and they had won a couple other battles in between that God had already won for them. Now, you got to understand, Shion and Og's armies were bigger than Israel's armies. But because Israel might have looked like the underdog in number, but they were the victor because of God. Same thing with us. We might look like we the underdog, but it can't happen. But God is fighting for you. God is fighting for you. You got to remember that. Whatever it is you're going through, you just got to keep telling yourself, God is fighting for me. He can win this war, this battle that's going on in my life with little or much. It don't matter to God. God can get it done. It don't matter if a wall is up like it was in Jericho. You know what I'm saying? Some of us, God, we got walls up. We won't even let God in. You better let him in so he can come on in there and bring the walls down. And so anyway, so that brings me to 2 Chronicles. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and it's talking about Moab. And I'm gonna take my time and go through this scripture. I don't usually like to read a lot of scriptures, but I mean read all the scripture, but the Lord told me to, so I'm going to do what he told me to do because he's chief. So anyway, in this technology. So anyway, when I thought about Jehoshaphat, and it's a lot of good things here when we talk about Jehoshaphat and all the things that the Lord put in this particular passage of scripture. And the reason why I talked about the first scripture, because I'm going to bring you back to that, what I just talked about, how the Lord told them not to touch Ammon, Moab, and the Edomites. I think he called them some Ammonians or something like that. But anyway, they were the Edomites. They were Esau's descendants. And how God told them, go through and not bother them. But later on, right here they come back to fight against their brother. So they didn't give the same courtesy that God told Israel to give them. They came against their brother. They came against them. So anyway, so here we are in the 20th chapter, and it said, and it came to pass after this also, starting at the first verse, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be of Hazamatar, got to get them right, which is in Gedi, right? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, let's look at what all Jehoshaphat is doing. So he began to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Now, I talked about this when we were talking about fasting. I talked about Jehoshaphat. He began to seek the Lord. Now, this is giving us a blueprint to come out. I'm telling you, this blessed me today because it said, I, you know, we read this over and over. But he gave me a blueprint. It said, first he set himself to seek the Lord, proclaim the fast throughout all of Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So Judah is coming, that they came to seek the Lord. They came to ask help of the Lord. What is it, Psalms 121 says? That I will lift up mine eyes from, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So they went to seek the Lord, get help from the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, our God of, O Lord God of our fathers. He's reminding them of his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he said, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power? And we understand that all power belongs to God. All power belongs to God. And so it said, the person keep calling, and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. So what is he saying? What is he really saying to God here? And this, that is verse number 6, and I want to read in here in these notes. This is out of the Application Bible. It says, Jehoshaphat's prayer had several essential ingredients. One, he committed the situation to God. Have you committed your situation to God? Have you told God, I'm giving this to you, and I'm not getting ready to take it back up no more? I'm not gonna keep worrying about it. I'm not going to be doing any of that. I'm seeking the Lord on it. I'm asking God for help, so I've committed it to the Lord. And then it says he sought God's favor because the people were God's people. Now, you're a child of the Lord. You're a child of God. And for those on the line that are not a child of God, you can give him your life today. You can give him your life today. And so that's what you can do. If you're not his, but you can be his. That's what I'm saying today. And so he said he saw God's favor because his people were God's people. I'm God's people. You're God's people. We are Abraham's seed according to the promise. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So we're his people. Then it says he acknowledged God's sovereignty over the current situation. We got to understand that God is sovereign. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? He was acknowledging who God was. He said he's sovereign. You're God. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God. And then he said, and then he praised God's glory and took comfort in his promises. We have got to take comfort in the promises of God. He said his promises are yea and amen. So that means his promises gone. If he promised it, he said he will not return his word will not return unto him void. If he promised you, it might look like it's taking some time for it to happen, but if he has promised you something, wait on God. Wait on God to give you the promises. I remember a song, I always think about this song because I play it sometimes when you're getting that, and you're like, oh, Lord, have mercy. But and you get that, and it's Ricky Dillon. He's talking about stay with God. I sing this, I'm in here just saying, stay with God. And so you got to stay with God. Don't go over there and say, well, no, I'm sorry, saying, good Lord, you've been, stay with God. Stay strong with God because God is fighting for you. And then the next thing he says, he professed complete dependence upon God and not on himself for deliverance. You know, sometimes I don't think sometimes we do it because we just do it. But sometimes I think we go and we do things, and sometimes we're doing it and we think we're doing it, allowing God to do it. But sometimes we're jumping in there trying to do it, like kind of like when Abraham and Sarah gave him you know who I'm talking about. when Sarah gave Abraham her maiden and for him to have a baby through because she was barren. And so he did that. So it was, they thought they were doing the right thing. This is a perfect example. They thought they were doing the right thing. And so that's how Ishmael came about. And so he thought he was doing the right thing. They thought they were doing the right thing. But God didn't need no help. When God had promised him a son, he promised him a son. Now, I know it was looking like that wasn't going to happen because Sarah was getting old, her womb was closed up, and Abraham was getting old. So it looked like it wasn't going to happen. So they went on and they gave, Sarah gave her maiden. I don't know why I can't think of her name right now, but anyway, they gave her her maiden. And so then Abraham went into her, and then that's how Ishmael came out. And then that's how we got a lot of this, you know, this stuff going on, because here, because God, when God made Abraham a promise, he promised, when he promised him he would make him a great nation, when he promised him that his seed was going to be blessed, Ishmael got blessed too, because that was his seed. And so he blessed all of them too. And so he had a lot of sons and everything too, because the blessing, when God gives, see, this is what I'm saying, when God gives a blessing, his promise is going to come true. So just because Ishmael wasn't a promised seed, he still got to say, he got the blessing. He got a blessing to multiply, and because his seed became multiple. You know, his seed kept on going. He had about 10 sons or so, or just like, you know, so many too. So did Esau. They had a lot of sons and stuff too. So they multiplied because of the promise that God had gave to Abraham. And so here we got God. So God's promises are true. But sometimes we got to make sure that we are leaning and dependent on him and not on ourselves. And we might think we're helping God, but God don't need our help. When God promises you something, he's going to bring it to pass. And so you just got to stay and wait for the promise. And it took some years, because I think it was how many years? It was a lot of years between Ishmael and even when Isaac finally did come. And so we got to know that God will keep his promise, and we don't have to jump in there and help, because that's how we mess some things up. And so it said we got a total dependence upon him, and to be God's kind of leader today, we got to follow Jehoshaphat's example, because his example was he sought the Lord first, then he began to fast, he called a fast, and then he began to tell God how, you know, who God was, and about telling about his sovereignty, and God, aren't you the one, you know, that you're over everything, you're over all the power of the heathen. God is over all of that. All power belongs to God. And so that's what he said in that particular verse, and that was just verse 6. And so then he said, and then he said, and they dwelt therein and have built these sanctuaries therein for thy name's sake. And if when evil come upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house, talking about the house of God, and in thy presence, he was in the presence of God, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now, let's talk about that word cry for just a moment, because the Lord brought that out to me, because when we think about, Psalms 34 and 6, when it says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He cried out. But the one that really blessed me was, I always think about this when I think about God. I had that note in somewhere. Anyway, here it is. When I think about this, and this is the Israelites. And this is Exodus 2. This is the second chapter of Exodus. And this is when the Israelites was in bondage with Egypt. And this is what that scripture says. And this is the second chapter in the 23rd verse. And it says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Now, I remember teaching a series on the power of your words and watching what we say and all of that. And I remember one of the lessons I taught was, there is a cry that will reach heaven. There is a sound that will get to heaven from us that God will hear. And it says, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And immediately after that, the next thing we hear in chapter 3 is Moses at the burning bush. So God had began to put in place, and of course we know Moses is like a type and shadow of Christ, a deliverer. And so he's a type and shadow of Christ, so he's a deliverer. And so he began to put that process in place of bringing the children out, delivering them out of Egypt, out of the house, out of bondage, and all of that. And because of that, you remember that he began to make the task harder. They began to have to make bricks without straws and all these kind of things just because God was bringing them out. Moses was going to aid Pharaoh and all these things. So sometimes the enemy will try to seem like he's putting it more on you. He's putting more on you. But I'm telling you, you coming out of these situations, I'm telling you, God is fighting for you. You are in good hands because you're in the hand of the Lord, and he is the one fighting for you. So let's go on, and I might not get to where am I at. Oh, got people now. I'll be getting quicker than everybody on. Praise the Lord. And so then heaven is fighting for them. And so then they got that going on. And so then, but this is what it was, he said in the 10th verse. He said, and now behold, the children of Amnon and Moab and Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. Remember, I read that back here in Numbers, when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Now, God wouldn't let them destroy them. He wouldn't let them bother them. Remember, he told them, just go, don't even go in. Don't turn into them either way. Just go straight on through. And so he wouldn't let them bother them. And he said, behold, I say now, they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. So here they were. Now, the Lord didn't let them touch their land. But here they trying to come in and fight against them to get them out of their possession. That's what they're trying to do. And this is family. You see what I'm saying? Because they are family. At the end of the day, they some kin. But anyway, they some kin to them. And so then it says in the 13th verse, the 12th verse, O our God, will thou not judge them? Because, you know, here it was that they didn't go in. They did what God, Israel done what God said when he said don't bother them. They didn't bother. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Remember that in Numbers, the 21st chapter, it talks about how strong the borders of Amnon were. It talks about that, how strong they were. Neither know we what. To do, but our eyes are upon thee. We got to put our eyes on the Lord. I just said that scripture in Psalms 121. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. For my help come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So they were lifting themselves up. He said, Lord, we are dependent upon you. All eyes are lifted upon you. We are dependent on you. We have got to depend on the Lord. We got to lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. Because our help is coming from God. It may not, God might send somebody to be a blessing, but God sent them. Remember that. Don't let nobody take the credit for what God is doing. So anyway, we got to understand that God is our help. He is fighting for us. And so then, here's another one of my favorite verses. So then, upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. There go the Holy Ghost. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, for thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow ye go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now, here goes some more of our battle parties. We get right here. So we done talked about a bunch of them already. We talked about fasting. We talked about seeking God. That's one of them. We got to seek the Lord. We talked about giving our dependence and putting our dependence upon the Lord. And, of course, they was repenting because they were saying, Lord, forgive us for whatever we've done. So all of those are our prayer battle partners right there, weapons of our warfare. And so then it said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. There goes another one, worship. They're worshiping him. We got to worship. We got to pray. We got to seek God. We got to give it to God. And so we can't keep taking it back. And something I wanted to say about that 15th verse, it says, as the enemy bore down on Judah, God spoke through Jehaziel, be not afraid, For the battle is not yours, but the God, but the Lord. We may not fight an enemy army, but every day the battle of temptation, pressure, rulers of darkness of the world, that's Ephesians 6 and 12, who want us to rebel against God. Remember, as believers, we have God's Spirit in us. If we ask for the Lord's help, when we face struggles, God will fight for us. God is always triumphant. So we got to remember that. And then we say, how do we let God fight for us? How do I do it? How do I let God fight for us? That's what sometimes we say. He said, by realizing the battle is not ours, but God. First of all, we got to realize that. Any battle we're going through is not ours, it's God. And then by recognizing human limitations and allowing God, Trip, to work through our fears and weaknesses. It says we got to recognize our human limitations and allow God's strength to work through our fears and weaknesses. That's what we got to do. And then it says by making sure we are pursuing God's interests and not just our own selfish desires. Now, and then by asking God to help us with our daily battles. So we got to ask God to help us with our daily battles. If we think about the Lord's Prayer, and what is it? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. But it says, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So we got to remember our prayer is a part of our battle partners. Our faith is a part of our battle partners. Our trust is a part of our battle partners. Our worship, our praise. All of these things help us in our defense of what the enemy is trying to do to us. When he's trying to get our mind to say God ain't going to do it, or rebel against God, or lose our faith and our hope against God, we got to remember the things that God has already done for us. Begin to remember, Lord, I remember when you've done this. Begin to praise him for the things he's already done while you're going through the heat of this the situation you're in now. Begin to do that. Because we got to understand, when we're the children of God, when we're God's children, he's always coming up against us, because his job is to try to get us to come away from God. So he's going to always be there. He on his job, but we got to stay on our job and begin to always depend upon God and remember to use the things that we have, the weapons of victory that we already have in our arsenal to win. And so when we use them, then God is winning for us, because we are using what God has already equipped us with to win. And so we think about that. So we still got our hope in Christ. We still love God. God still loves us. We know he loves us when it seems like people don't love us. When we seem like people are turning away from us, or people are walking away from us, we got to remember that we are accepted in the beloved. And because God loves us, I got a little T-shirt that I designed. And it says, God loves me, I love me, I'm completely loved. That's what it says. And so that's what I believe. If God loves me, I love me, so I am completely loved. If you don't never love me, it's all right, because I'm already completely loved. Me and Jesus is loving each other, and I tell you, and it's all right. And so then let's go on, because I got to get to the best, to the good, other good parts of this. And it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. I'm at verse 20. I'm in verse 19. And the Levites of the children of the Kohites and the children of the Koranites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Sometimes we just got to get loud and begin to praise God. Praise him through the situation. When that word begins to grip you, begin to just praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I know you're able. I know you can do it. Lord, I'm thankful for all you've done. You know, just begin to praise and to thank him and to worship him. And I'm telling you, the enemy will run. It says if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. And that's a way of us resisting him. When we begin to praise and thank God, we begin to worship God in the middle of things, he'll flee. And call on the name of Jesus, because he said he'll flee. He's going to flee at that name. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord. Believe. That's one of your weapons. That's one of your weapons of victory. You got to believe in the Lord. What does it say over in Hebrews 6:16? It says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God says, so shall ye be established. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of the holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. God took care of them. They were outnumbered. Like we were talking about, we were talking about Gideon and how he was outnumbered. And so he was only 300 of them, but it was 135,000 of the enemy. But he was outnumbered. It looked like he was outnumbered. But because of God, God makes up the number. He makes up the difference. He is our difference. He's the one that's fighting for us. So he went before him and fought for him, and they won that battle. So we got to know, just like in Rephidim, when Moses kept holding him, when Moses' arms was up, and Aaron and her was holding them arms up, to me that was a posture of praise. And when he was holding them arms up, honey, they was winning that battle. So we got to get in a posture of praise. Sometimes we just need to have our hands lifted up. I know the old church, you say, if you can't say a word, then just wave your hand. That's what they used to tell, just wave your hand, because when you got them hands lifted up, you're in a posture of prayer. And if we think about, and then when we cry out unto the Lord, and I think about a baby crying. You know, when a baby cries out, see, we got to relate this to what God thinks about when we are crying out to him. Because he said, this poor man cried, God heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. When a baby begins to cry, it's a couple of things happening. Either they're hungry, they're wet, or something else is going on. But what they are sending, that cry sends a signal to the mother and to the father, the parents, to say, something's going on. Let me go in here and check on my child. Let me go in here and see what about my child. And then they begin to do the things that will cause the child not to cry anymore. God wants to cause you not to cry anymore. If you begin to cry out and you begin to cry unto God and tell him what's going on, I'm telling you, God's going to come. He's going to come, and he's going to cause you not to cry anymore. He's going to deliver you out of all the troubles. That's the promise. He said they cried unto him. And as soon as Israel began to cry, it was such a groan that God heard the groan, and he heard the cry, and it reached heaven. And when it reached heaven, God began to put the plan of deliverance in place for them. Well, these already sent Jesus. We already got deliverance. All we got to do is believe and trust in him. We got to have our faith in him. We got to worship and praise him. We got to use the authority that he has given us to use in his name. We got to have hope in him. We got to love him. We got all of these things got to keep happening, because this is what God has given us to do. So when we get all of this stuff going and we keep it going, we are going to win. God is coming to your rescue. God is hearing your cry. God is fighting the battle for you. Trust in him. Believe in him. Lean on him. Depend on him. And let him do the work. Stop trying to do it in your own power. Don't be like Sarah and Abraham and bringing in a substitute situation for the promise that God has already made to you. Wait on the promise. Wait on God. Wait on God. He is going to do it. Don't let the enemy tell you no different. When he began to speak, you know, the cartoon used to be on years ago. One had a little angel on the side, one had a little devil on the side, both of them talking in the ear. You remember that? So don't let the devil talk in your ear. Listen to God. Listen to what God has said. Go back to his word and apply it to your life. Put application on it. God is going to do it. You are going to win because you are on the winning side. Don't side with that hopeless devil. Don't listen to that hopeless devil. Don't listen to them lies. And if he bring lies to people, don't listen to them either. But listen for God's voice. Hear God's voice and know that God is on your side. And the Bible tells us if God be for us, this is in Romans, if God be for us, he is more than the world against you. God is for you. I want you to know that. He's for you, and he's fighting the battle on your behalf. And so, we have to just grab hold to him. And in this week that's coming up, it ain't the trials and tribulations ain't going to come. But what did Jesus tell you? He said, be of good cheer, because he has already overcome the world. He said, they're going to come. He said, but be of good cheer. So he's already given us encouragement in these areas and in these situations. But we learned a lot from Jehoshaphat. We learned to first to seek God, and then we learned to praise God, and we learned to worship God. We learned to lean and depend on him and allow him to understand that he is our help. He is the one that's helping us. He is the one that's doing it for us. He's the one that's fighting for us. And even if you know, the Lord let, like he let Israel the first time they went on past their brothers and Edoms and all of them, they went on past them, but then later on they came up against them. Even if it's a family member coming up against you, don't hold them to that charge. I'm telling you, don't you charge them. Because he said, well, what is their reward? Give that to God to do. That ain't for you to do. It's not our place to try to bring judgment or anything against our brother and our sister. But it is God. It's God's. He said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, said the Lord. We don't need to take none of that. We don't need to put ourselves in that place. But we got to remember that God is fighting for us. We don't have to war against people like that. But we have to consider, like I told us, I said, you know, even on our jobs, a lot of people are acting their behaviors a certain way because, you know, things that have happened in their life. We really don't know what people have been through or even what they're going through. And sometimes people are acting out because they really don't have their trust and their faith and in God. And so, you know, we got to have peace. And God said, he said he'll give us peace. He's our Jehovah Shalom. He's all these things. And we're going to talk about the names of God next week when we talk about David. One of the things we're going to talk about next week, that's another one of our prayer partners or our weapons of our warfare is the names of God. He gave us so many names when Abraham was on the mountain with Isaac, and God told him to sacrifice that, and then he brought the lamb. He said, you know, there's a ram caught in the thicket, and Abraham that day called him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. And then even when Moses and them was in the battle of Rephidim, and they were going against them, and Moses called him Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He's the one that's protecting us. He's the one that's taking care of us. So we got to remember this. So we're going to talk about some of them names. And, of course, there's a name under heaven whereby men shall be saved, and that is the name of Jesus, that name right there. And so with that being in mind, I want to always remember that, you know, maybe somebody out there that is listening to this broadcast that does not know the Lord in the pardon of their sin, and they didn't get an opportunity to give their life to the Lord this morning, but you have another opportunity to do so. You have an opportunity right now to give your life to the Lord. Because we got to understand that everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. The penalty of our sin is death, but Christ died for your sin. He died for the sins of this world, for all of our sins he died for. And to be forgiven of our sins, we must believe and declare that Jesus is Lord, and salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to know that and believe that. But if you are under the sound of my voice, and you want to give your life unto the Lord today, then I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And it says, Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross so that I may have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, life is meaningless. I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Jesus, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me and come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior today. I need you to be my Father and my friend. And I praise you. I give you my life, and I ask you to take full control from this moment on. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe if you were sincere in your heart in praying that prayer, that you are now in one of his kids. You're a kingdom kid. Amen. And so I believe that your life. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church where you can continue to be strengthened and grow in the Lord. and that they will help you through. You know, the Bible tells us not to forsake ourselves, to assemble ourselves with believers. So get in there with the believers, some believers, and let the Lord help you, and let him continue to help you to grow in Christ. You're not alone. You are not alone. He's sending the Holy Spirit to help you, and, of course, he will be your guide. So you're not alone. Just come on in there and get in there and find you a good pastor to be your leader and teacher and be your shepherd, one of the shepherds. And so that's what you want God to do. That's what you want to do. And so we're so grateful for this time of teaching. I hope that somebody got something out of it. I always say that, you know, this ministry is for our initial thought is for it to be for those that are lost and for those that are newly saved, just to give them some good foundational teaching. But I'm telling you, it has been such a blessing to me going through all of these scriptures and, you know, things I've been taught over the years. But just to go through them and hear God's voice say some different things and give us some different revelations about it and some different guidance according to it. So it's been such a blessing. It's been such a blessing to some of us that are saved. And so I'm so thankful for that. And I just thank God for just being who he is. He's an awesome God. And I'm just humbled for the fact that, you know, he would want to use somebody like me. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm asking God to bless each and every one of you out there. And we're going to pray. And then I keep looking at the time because I got to go over to another hospital and minister here in a few minutes. And so I'm going to run over there and get over there get over there in town, take that long to get over there, but and they always running late getting the people in, so I'll be okay. But anyway, I thank God for that. Not that I'm trying to be late, but I that's just how it kind of goes over there. Sometimes we wait on 30 minutes. So anyway, but God is good, and so we're going to go on over there and try to minister the gospel. So be praying for me, and I'm asking you to also pray for your leaders in your churches and pray for your family members. Like I said, we're intercessors. We're standing in the gap sometimes for our family members that are not saved, those in need prayer, stuff like that. And so anyway, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless each and every one under the sound of my voice. Bless this word to go out, and bless it to fall on good ground, Lord Jesus, that those that hear it may be strengthened by it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for every soul that will accept Christ on this broadcast today as hearing the word of God and then praying the prayer of salvation. And, Lord, that they will accept Christ, Lord, and they will find a good Bible-believing teaching church and a leader, a pastor that will be a blessing to them. And, God, we're asking you, Lord, to bless us and through this week to use some of the points, Lord, that was given for us to use to be able to combat the enemy that is trying to attack our mind, trying to then bring up, we rebuke oppression, depression, and suppression, Lord. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, for peace this week. We ask you, Lord, to go and bring us peace, Lord, that we will have peace everywhere we go. And when we walk in the room, we bring peace with us so that if it is not there, Lord, that it will come when we come in the door, that you will come in with us. And, Lord, you'll bless it to be peaceful, Father. So, Lord, that we can be atmosphere changers, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. And we glorify and we magnify your name. Now, plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice. Be their protection, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, if there's healing that needs to take place, let your healing virtue flow. Lord Jesus, heal them just like you did with the woman with the issue of blood. Let your healing virtue flow to them and be healed. Comfort those that need comforting, oh God, as a loss of loved ones or a loss of a job or a loss of a house or a loss of or whatever, Lord Jesus, that causes people to grieve. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to heal them from grief and comfort them from grief, Father. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless this nation, oh God, and the leadership of this nation. Lord, save them, God, because they need you. They need your salvation, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, bless the people, oh God. We rebuke prejudiceness, and we rebuke all kinds of things that come in the name of Jesus to try to cause people to think that they're less than anybody. Bless people to know who they are worth in you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to strengthen us, strengthen people, strengthen us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And, God, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you. If anybody is in a crisis right now, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to meet the need. Lord, we ask you to bless our soldiers, oh God, all over this world. Touch them, Lord. Give them discernment. Give them wisdom, God, as they're on the battlefield. We ask you also to bless our policemen and our firemen, oh God. Bless every teacher, every school administrator, every worker, every bus driver, every bus attendant, every cafeteria worker, every custodian, oh God, every teacher's assistant. And bless these children, Lord, as they go to school. Bless them with a mind to learn, oh God. We rebuke the devil that tries to come up against them, oh God, to cause them to act out of order, to cause them to be rebellious. We rebuke that rebellious spirit, oh God. We rebuke that defiant spirit, and we rebuke that disobedient spirit in the name of Jesus, oh God. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to cover us all in Jesus' name. Keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, and be our peace this week, oh God. Let peace prevail. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you for joining me on Facebook Live. Thank you all to all those that called in and those that logged in and those that will listen to this broadcast later, whether it be on Blog Talk Radio or reviewing Facebook Live. Thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you is my prayer, and I pray that God will keep you safe and keep you and bless you with all that he has promised you. Keep your faith up. Keep your faith up. Your promises will come to pass in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Join us back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless you.